for help? Hi, I'm Tanya from Bethel Dental Clinic, Ghana. We believe in establishing good oral hygiene habits early is essential for your child's long-term dental health. Baby teeth, also called primary teeth or milk teeth, will fall out and be replaced by permanent teeth starting at around 6 years old. So it's tempting to think that primary teeth are not important, but in reality, those baby teeth are very important. Your child's first dental visit will include a complete exam, cleaning, and a fluoride treatment to protect the teeth. Your dental office should ensure that your child's dental visit is comfortable, gentle, and welcoming. Schedule your first dental visit today and give them the gift of a lifetime of healthy smiles. Healthy smiles.
It's 2 days to the Joinees National Dialogue on Defending Media Freedom ahead of the December polls. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, one of Ghana's protected forest draw reserve in the Zima East District of the Western Region invaded by an unidentified miner, raising fears about what could mark the beginning of a chain of forest degradation in the area.
If we destroy this resource, how are we going to live?
Parliament goes months without a functioning fire tender on the day part of the Job 600 was ravaged by fire. The chief fire officer says the tender had been undergoing repair and will soon be back in Parliament.
We are aware that the fire tender station here in Parliament has developed some fault,
is
undergoing service, and when is it returning?
Oh, very soon, within the week, it will return.
We have the very latest from the preliminary investigations commenced by the fire service on today's fire that engulfed part of the Job 600 building in Parliament. Also tonight, heat at the National Peace Council's meeting with prophets in Ghana, with Nigel Gazi taking on the council, describing them as sensationalist and selective and only active during election years.
Peace Council only finds a voice when it's getting to election. The Peace Council is sensationalist. The Peace Council, as it were, focuses the interests of just a few. We should appreciate that peace is not found in a vacuum.
Well, the Peace Council has been fighting off the claims.
In the night, moving into the house of politicians, calling them at dawn, meeting them at different places, just to ensure that we can get this tender. NDC said they will not go to IPAC. It took us 3 years to negotiate with NDC. Finally, they've gone to IPAC. Nobody talks about it.
And John Mahama delivers scathing critique of Baomi's media engagement, accusing the NPP flag bearer of peddling falsehood, especially his response to whether the economic fundamentals have exposed the exchange rate under the NPP.
Somebody who can speak ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta like AK-47. Suddenly media encounter, the fundamentals are weak. And then it went logoligi, 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 logoligi.
We have the very latest from that, plus the vice president's campaign in the Greater Accra region.
And in business, some rice farmers cast doubts over effectiveness of ban on some exports of grains to avert food shortage.
And in sports, we hear from president of the Ghana Football Association, Kerti Kreku, who's been advocating strongly for tax waivers and increased funding to boost the development of sports in the country.
And I'll take you to the Kolebu Teaching Hospital later as the facility suspends elective surgeries and relocates emergency cases amid efforts to repair malfunctioning elevator in the surgical building.
From last year, we noticed that there was a frequent breakdown of the lifts, so we decided to procure new. So actually, we are in the procurement process, trying to procure new, but we're told that for this kind of lifts, you even from the time of ordering to installation takes a minimum of about 6 months. That's what we're told.
We have details of that and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. Your thoughts, your comments are very much welcome. It's via WhatsApp, 055-111-1997. We are live on X Spaces. You can leave a comment there with the hashtag Newsnight. I am MFA Pau.
My name is Evans Mensah. Let's start tonight with that Galamsey menace. We're hearing that one more forest reserve, one that previously we didn't know to have been touched, has now been touched now by the icy cold hand of Galamsey, one of Ghana's major protected forests, the Jura Bonsu in the Nzima East District of the Western Region. Draw River Forest Reserve has now been touched and has been invaded by what we understand by an unidentified miner in what could mark the beginning of a chain of forest degradation through illegal mining. Part of the forest has been cleared and excavators moved to the site ready for operation.
Well, management of Better Land Ghana Services, legal owners of a concession in the forest, has denied knowledge of this particular invasion. Well, my colleague Erastus Asare Donko went to the ground to assess the situation for himself. Here's his report.
Quality forest reserves have in recent times been attacked and destroyed illegally for gold. Powerful individuals, including politically exposed persons, have turned reserved forests like Apawasa and Apamprama into miles of useless pits and gullies. The Draw River Forest Reserve is perhaps next in line. It is a protected area located in the western region of Ghana, established in 1954. It covers an area of approximately 52,800 hectares. The Draw River Forest Reserve is now under siege.
We are in the middle of a very rich, dense forest, which has been standing. It's called the Draw River Forest Reserve. It's been around four centuries, named after this beautiful river flowing through the forest. And it's within the Nzima East municipality of the Western Region. Now, we are learning that this forest, a part of it, has been given to Betterland Ghana Limited for mining. And we are here to find out who has started doing exploration services and clearing the forest for mining.
Typical of the start of the destruction of other forests, the miners have initiated test protocols, cleared portions of the forest, and are in the process of transporting excavators and cabins into the forest for the start of an onslaught. This farmer, a native of Jura Bonsu, speaks of the value of this green ancient resource.
1974 to 1975.
This is what gave us a road network from Asansetere to Bonsu. The road brought in investors in the timber industry, which gave us royalties to develop the town.
Tumpon, because timber no amasika yenso yinyabi yade buakru no.
If you destroy this resource, how are we going to live? Some of us get raw materials from this forest to survive. He echoes the resolve of the youth to protect the forest, asking government to act.
I will
tell leaders of this country to sit up and protect the Draw River Forest Reserve. They are using the president's name, President Akufo-Addo's name, to destroy the forest. He should step his foot down and do something, as he promised to protect forests in this country.
President Ghana said, now from Draw Forest, no more.
Legally, portions of the Draw River Forest Reserve have been awarded to Betterland Limited for mining, but they have denied any claims to the current invasion of the forest.
Many of the forest reserves that have been degraded, Apamprama, Apawasa, started like this. A clearing, testing for minerals, and before you realize, excavators are in there and the whole place is gone. For now, we do not know who has started this within the Draw River Forest Reserve. We demand answers. Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asare Donko, Draw River Forest Reserve, Nzima East, Western Region.
Well, let's bring in Erasto Sasare Donkho himself. He's been on the ground for some time now before putting this particular report together. Erasto, I'm sure you've been finding out from authorities. I've been hearing that interaction. What exactly and who exactly could have given this unidentified miner the permit to go into Draw River Forest Reserve?
I'm getting conflicting responses. To my sources at the Forestry Commission, I'm getting information that they have given some exploration permit to Better Land Ghana services. And today,
well, Erastus, you are concluding on that in terms of the conflicting reports that we're getting before that interruption.
Well, so I'm saying that what information we're getting, the Forestry Commission indicates that they have given rights for Better Land development. And that extent that they've even given them the right to use the cavity. So we know that exploration services are done by methods aside using heavy equipment. But Better Land Ghana Services is saying, I spoke with them, they are saying that they do not know who has invaded the forest. And they are not the ones in there doing that exploratory activity. And so for now, it's clear who has invaded the forest, who is trying to enter, and who is trying to do mining in the forest at the moment. And that is what we are searching answers for. I think the Minerals Commission and the Forestry Commission needs to come clear on who is in there and who has been given the right to start mining there.
And are there any indications that there are any moves to actually find out who is doing this?
We've been trying. We're not getting any answers yet. Perhaps in the course of the week, we'll get answers. But we've seen three excavators on site. A cabin belonging to the people was there. A large clearing of the forest, indicating that they want to pitch camp and start mining. And so we are keeping touch base on the ground. We have learned that some Chinese nationals, soon after our visit to the forest, came to park the excavators and they want to take it away. But the youth there wanted to notify the police of their presence because they want them arrested. We are still in touch with them to find out how this is to go.
Well, that's Erasto Sasare Donkho. Definitely will be following up on this particular issue for you. But thankfully, the MCA for Nzema East, Eric Essien, has joined us on the line. And we're grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Mr. Essien, I'm sure this particular incident has been brought to your attention. Are there any moves to find out what exactly is happening in the Draw River Forest? Hello, Mr. Essien.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you, Mr. Essien. So we are asking about this particular incident in the Draw River Forest Reserve. We are told there are some unidentified miners in this particular reserve. Do you know about this situation?
Thank you very much. What I know is about a certain company called Better Land Ghana. They have the mining lease, but they have not started work yet. But I don't know any miner over there. I don't know anything about it. So I will inform the music just tomorrow morning that this information I had from the Gen Forest, Gen FM. So I'll make sure to go there with the management, with the music, and I'll give you the information later because I don't know any person, any man over there, apart from the Better Land Ghana. And they have not started yet, work yet. But I have their paper on my table that they have given them mining lease, and I read all their papers. But apart from the Better Land Ghana, I don't know any company over there, and I don't know that somebody's working over there. So I will make sure that within the week, I'll go there with the music and search for the one doing the work over there, and I'll give you the report. Thank you very much.
You must be surprised at the development then.
Hello.
I'm asking if you're surprised at the news about this particular unidentified miner in the area.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't know that somebody is working over there. The one I know them is the Better Land Company, a big company, but they have not started work. And yeah, they have not started work. So if someone is working there, then I don't know. So unless I go there. So that's why I said I will inform the music tomorrow morning. I will do that. And we will find a time within this week, by the course of this week, we will go there, even with the police.
Grateful. And that's Eric Hissian, is the MC for Nzima East Assembly. They're giving us updates on this. Of course, something we'll be following up on with Erasto Sotiri-Dunko and the team on this particular situation at the Draw River Forest Reserve.
And you're still live here on News Night on Joy 99.7 FM. And I want to hear from you tonight on the stories we've done so far, including this particular issue with Galamsey. But I want to take you to Parliament now, where prior to this morning, when parts of the job 600 building was ravaged by fire, the house, we now know, had gone months without a functioning fire tender. The house used to have a standby fire tender to respond to fire outbreaks. John News has been learning that the tender was not functioning and has now been confirmed by the chief fire officer, Julius Kuno. Now, the chief fire officer also provided an update on the fire incident in Parliament.
Business has begun and will come out in the course of the fire. In due course.
Yeah. This is not the first time we are recording a fire incident on the same complex. How concerning is that?
Yes, fire, we can never predict anything can happen. So you should not doubt that. That's why you have all kind of things there. Anything could happen to cause fire.
We are aware that the fire tender stationed here in Parliament has developed some fault.
Of course.
Undergoing servicing.
Yes, exactly.
When is it returning?
Oh, very soon. Within the week, it will return. Fortunately, we have stations around to cover the place. So there's no problem.
Well, parliamentary correspondent Kweku Asante is with me in the studio. How long exactly has this fire tender been out of service?
Well, it's been months now. In fact, for two meetings, the fire tender, which is always stationed under the Justice 100, that space has not been there. And in fact, where the fire outbreak happened today is just at the top of where the fire tender, that is usually in Parliament, usually is stationed. But this time around, it wasn't there. In fact, since a part of the end of last year, that fire tender has been unavailable throughout this year too as well. In fact, through the last meeting of Parliament that just concluded on the 31st of July, the fire tender has not been around. And the fire system in Parliament seems to be malfunctioning. Sometimes the fire alarm will go off and then there's no fire. And so, in fact, today when the fire alarms did go off in parts of the building, everybody was there sitting there thinking.
And I've been in Parliament before when the fire alarm goes off. It's business as usual. This happens all the time.
Yes. So, in fact, the Government Assurance Committee
Do they even do fire drills?
Well, since I've been in Parliament for years now, I haven't seen a fire drill in Parliament. Of course, unless they did it in my absence. But the committee meeting was about to happen when some officials came in there, rushing the chairman of the committee, Okudzeta Blackwa, and his members, together with the Works and Housing Minister, to get out of the committee rooms because the building adjoining the committee rooms had caught fire. And then eventually, they had to be whisked away. They all came out. And a number of persons were now getting away from the Justice 100. It's a 12-floor building. Others afraid of using the elevators, and now we're using the stairs. It was a bit of a chaos this morning in the house until everyone got out safely, and the fire service brought in three tenders to be able to douse the flames.
What was their response time, though?
Well, they came in quite very early. In fact, we are told, and we were in the committee room when the fire did start, that the fire started around 9:30. In 5 minutes, the first fire tender had arrived from the fire service headquarters, which is not so far off from where Parliament is, by the way. They came in. Then, seeing that one fire tender could not do the job, they brought another one. That also could not help. They had to bring in a third to be able to fix it. The chief fire officer himself was there. The Greater Accra Regional Commander was there. And with a number of men on the ground, they were able to douse the flames. And they said it wasn't safe for staff and MPs to return back to the offices. Up until 1 o'clock when we left there, the situation was still a bit untidy because there was still fire service, the tenders on site, just in case something ignites. ECG officials also had to come in there because of early on there was allegations and claims going around in the house that it might have been caused by a trip of power. So ECG officials, we understood, had to come and look at the situation.
Is there any clarity on that call, though? Because I know at the time they were trying to investigate this.
Well, we haven't gotten confirmation on that. We've been trying to get officials from Parliament as well as the fire service officials to confirm that to us. They say they are investigating it, and in the coming days they'll put together what exactly happened that caused this fire events.
Thankfully, we can speak to Kate Addo, who's a coordinating director of public relations in Parliament, joins us right now. Madam Addo, thanks for your time here on Newsnight.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Great to have you. We know as of the morning, the fire service were trying to understand what caused this. Have you been briefed on what caused this?
They are still investigating. We are yet to be told exactly what caused the fire. I don't know who was always in the studio with you, but I heard what was said. To a large extent, that's exactly what happened. But I must indicate that with the fire alarm system, it's true that it was malfunctioning some time ago. That has been fixed. And with the fire drills, we used to have regular fire drills, which we haven't had in a while, admittedly. Coincidentally, the deputy clerk in charge of information services only this week had meetings with the clerk too. They said that we need to organize one. And as of last week, Friday, the conversation that I was in, that conversation came up. So, yes, we recognize that we haven't had a fire drill in a while. But coincidentally, maybe God was trying to tell us something. We have plans to do that. And that was only last week when Gloria Sarakukumewu made arrangements for us to have that. And conversations have been had with the clerk to that effect.
So fire alarm system malfunctions at some point. It was fixed and then used to have fire drills that also stopped for a while. Why though?
I would not be able to give a definite answer to that. But what I can tell you is that the conversation for restarting that only took place last week. And I was privy to that conversation because I was in the meeting that discussion took place. Because while we admit that, yes, we haven't had it in a while, I must indicate that we are making plans to do that. And it's unfortunate that just when we thought about it, it happened less than a week after we started the conversation.
Is the Job 600 fire certificate still valid?
Sorry?
Do you know if your Job 600, the fire certificate that ran, it will be issued by the fire service, is it still valid? The fire certificate that buildings such as yours require.
The fire certificate.
Yes, that building such as yours.
I will
would
not
you know
be able to confirm
valid?
That. But what I do know is that we have a parliamentary fire unit on site, for incidences like this. And that's why the response time was really quick. I mean, it could have been a lot worse than it happened. But for the presence of the fire personnel that was on site.
So even without the tender, you still had the parliamentary fire unit on site?
Yes. And we have the fire extinguishers working. They tried to kill the fire with the extinguishers, but obviously it was a bit of a challenge. And so they had to call for assistance, which happened almost immediately, like was narrated to you in the studio. Mm. Within 5 minutes, within 10 minutes of it happening, we had three fire attendants there. We had the chief fire officer, the regional director, and the interior minister all on site too. And of course, we had the firemen also on site.
Yeah, I mean, so this is typical firefighting, right? But you had a parliamentary fire unit on site, stationed there permanently, and still some of the basic requirements for managing such a building when it comes to regular drills and fire alarm systems, malfunctions at the time and stopped. That sounds to me like negligence.
Well, I wouldn't be able to say whether it's negligent or not. But what I can tell you is that these are things that we, as much as possible, try to pay attention to. It's unfortunate that what happened today happened, and it could have been
worse, you know.
Sorry?
It could have been worse, considering how lapsed the fire systems in there were. Can you hear me? It could have been worse, considering how lapsed the systems there are,
Definitely. It could have been a lot worse had the response time not been so short and, so efficient. So the fire service, I think, need serious commendations for the way they handled everything. And we were able to evacuate everybody and to clear space. And we did the evacuation in stages. We had everybody come out to the clear space, and then we have them move to the MP's car park. For the reporters and the journalists, we try to hang around not too far from the scene so that we could catch the officials and ask them what was happening. So we actually were hanging around the administration block waiting for the chief fire officer and his men to come out and talk to us.
I mean, do you know why the fire tender that was stationed there was withdrawn?
I will have to confirm the reason, the main reason for that. But it was there for a long while, and your reporters can tell you that. And I haven't seen it in a while, but I don't know, for some reason, it sort of escaped me to ask.
And what's the damage assessment that has been done on the part of the job 600 that was ravaged today?
So basically, the office has houses the hazard department. So we had mostly records of proceedings from the chamber. The good news is that because we have electronic backup, we are not too worried in terms of the documentation that we've lost. We can, you know, reprint them. We are looking at there was a bit of furniture in the office, but it's only one office out of so many in the job 600. So while it was scary, we are thankful to God that the damage wasn't as extensive as it could have been.
And very finally, when will you open that wing to business? Have repairs begun already, and what were they going to cost?
I mean, we don't know the cost. Again, they are assessing the damage. It's one office, so all things being equal, we should be able to use the building. But of course, the fire service has advised that we avoid that side of the building for now until they come up with what may have caused the fire to start in the first place. So today, Mr. Speaker and the clerk to Parliament ask that everybody goes home and then hopefully return tomorrow. We've had an initial meeting with the fire personnel in Parliament, and they've assured us that they're working around the clock. I just left the office. They were still there, working around the clock to find out what the problem is, see if there could be a recurrence, which we're hoping not, and then, you know, they put the measures in place to ensure that we don't have a repeat of what happened today.
Thank you very much, Madam Keitado, the Coordinating Director of Public Affairs at Parliament. I want to now bring in Alex Nati. He's a fire officer at the Public Affairs Directorate at the Ghana Fire Service and joins us right now. And Mr. Nati, thanks for your time. Whilst we've been speaking, though, I've just been alerted that there is you have another fire outbreak tonight at Malata Market. What more do you know about it?
I'm currently driving, I think, right now. I'm still driving to the scene. It's a very serious fire. It's very, very serious. Four fire tenders have been dispatched from Circle, from Trade Fair, from Flagstaff House, and from Makola, who are currently... we have Circle and Flagstaff House at the scene, and we are waiting other tenders to go in to augment the effort of these two tenders already at the scene.
And you're already at the scene. I know you are heading there right now, but in terms of...
I'm even at a junction, Avino Junction, about going there right now.
And what are your men telling you whilst you head there? You said this is a very serious fire. Are they managing now to bring it under control?
The first thing we normally do is to try and call on ECG to catch power supply to the area. So I'm sure that is being communicated to ECG. I said now, the most important thing for us is the fire scene. We do our part to make sure that we prevent the fire from further spread or from spreading to the unaffected areas. And that is what our men are currently doing at the scene.
And is this the market itself that has been engulfed?
It's a story building around the market area. So I can't give the exact location, but it's at the Malata Market, just by the roadside.
And our men ourselves, we're heading there right now. We'll try and get a bit more as you yourself we head there. But let's talk very quickly about the fire that engulfed part of Parliament today, the Job 600 building. We've learned that the fire tender there was withdrawn at some point. Do you know why?
Okay, so I can confirm that, yes, it was reassigned to Anya Fire Station as we speak, because... even though Parliament is a very important and strategic institution, we realize that we have a station very close by, that's the Ministry Station, and our headquarters station is also very close by. We've always spoken about our limited resources and the need to not renege on our commitment to serve the good people of Ghana. And so we realize that from La Paz all through to Awoshi to Abrikuma to Anya and beyond, we don't have any fire coverage, so we have to be strategic in distributing our media resources. So that is not to say we undermine the efforts of Parliament, but it's as a matter of being strategic and realize that even with today's incident, our team from our national headquarters got there in time. In 5 minutes, they are at the scene. So that's how come we made the joint call.
So the tender was reassigned to Anya, but your boss on the ground, when he got there, explained to us that it was withdrawn for repairs. The tender. Your boss says to us that it was withdrawn for repairs. Hello, Mr. Nate, can you hear me? Hello, Mr. Nate, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me? Oh, goodness me. Let's see if we can get him on the better line. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, loud and clear. Yes, I'm saying that your boss told us today that it was withdrawn, the tender was withdrawn for repairs.
Well, initially, it was withdrawn for repairs. That was the initial reason. But then...
we lost him there. And I also want to find out, MFA, because from what we're learning from Kate, the fire alarm system malfunctioned for some time, then they had to repair it. Secondly, also, they also stopped the regular fire drills for some time. It was just last week that somebody just thought they should do it. And then if you've been to Parliament before, I've been there before when the fire alarm went off and nobody cared because, you know, drills were not happening. And I also need to establish if indeed the Job 600 fire certificate is still valid. You know, it's subject to renewal. The renewal is based on a set of preconditions that you need to meet for it to be renewed. We need to establish that indeed has also happened. It only takes an emergency such as this for everything to unravel. Now we're learning a bit more. Fire tender was withdrawn either for repairs or for reassignment, as we're now hearing. And then the fire alarm system malfunctions and repaired very recently. There was no fire drills for a building such as we have it there. A few more questions for the fire service itself to answer. While all that we're learning about this, the fire service also had on-site permanently stationed the parliamentary fire unit, although they didn't have the tender. And so they were supposed to supervise that the building is fire compliant. And whether they did that or not is another question hopefully we can get some clarity about. Mr. Nate, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sir.
And I wanted to clarify, Madam Kate Addo, who is the coordinating director of public relations in Parliament, tells us that the fire alarm system in the Job 600 building malfunctioned for a while. It was recently repaired. They also stopped the fire drills. It was just last week that somebody alerted that they should do one. Do you still have the parliamentary fire unit on site, permanently stationed?
Exactly. That I can confirm, that we have able-bodied officers who carry out routine checks, who carry out education and drills the occupants of Parliament.
Yeah, but if that is the case, though, why is it then that the Parliament, the building, the Job Signal, went for a long time without fire drills and the fire system malfunctioned?
No, it's not been a long time, because to the best of my knowledge, I know that fire drills are carried out regularly. And then
that's not the story from Parliament.
The thorough inspection is carried out in all the buildings at the area.
Well, Kate Addo,
so that I can confirm.
Kate Addo, who joined us just before you, confirmed that fire drills stopped for a long, long time. It hadn't been happening.
No, then there might have been some miscommunication from that end. But to the best of my knowledge, our officers there carry out regular fire drills to be able to get everyone psyched and then everyone prepared for emergency.
Well, there are two reports that contradict the position. Kate Addo says that had not happened for a while. My parliamentary correspondent, who is there on it every single day, says they've not done it for a long, long time. Myself, days I've been there, I've heard the fire alarm go off and nobody cares. Everybody's walking about doing their thing until it goes off. Clearly, something is wrong with your men on the ground and forcing what they are indeed trained to do.
No, so I beg to differ. Our men on the ground, you see, simulation exercises and drills are a collaborative effort between the fire service and then the responding or the other stakeholders that we work with. So if it hasn't, as it's been claimed, that it hasn't been done in a while, then that cannot be fully attributed to our officers. And then the question would be asked that when was the last time a request was made for fire drills to be done? What I can tell you for a fact is that regular inspections are done, you know, at Parliament. Regular inspection almost on a daily basis at Parliament. But then the unfortunate thing is that due to the sensitivity of that particular room, our men often do not get access to that particular room for inspection because of how, well, probably how sensitive that office is. But I can say on record that we carry out regular inspection. So, well, if the drills have not been carried out in a while, then it begs to ask whether, you know, because as then it calls into question, as a people, we always prioritize our security much more than our safety. Just like, you know, I'm sure in your speech, you'd hear people every time crying that thieves are worrying them, but you hardly hear them crying that fires are worrying them. So as a people, we shift our priorities much more to security than much more to safety. So then, if it hasn't been done in a while, then I don't think our men only should share the blame. It should be whether a request has been done. So if a request has been done and our men have not responded to the drill, then I guess we can be held responsible. Other than that, then it will be a shared responsibility.
Do you know when the last drill was done?
I would have to check with our operations department. I don't have that information readily.
And you said something I wanted to clarify. You say that for a fire drill to happen, for a building like that, the owners of the building, this parliamentary service, will have to place a formal request to your men.
What I'm saying is that it's a collaborative effort. So we'll probably send in the request, or they will send in the request, and as and when the request is done, an approval will have to come from one side of the hand. So probably they might want every parliamentarian around before a drill is carried out. So we know election nearing season and the rounds associated with it. So maybe they might not have got a full house capable of already to be able to carry out a drill. So that's why I said that, and it's a two-way street.
Is the Job 600 building fire compliant?
Come again, please.
Is the Job 600 building fire compliant? Does it have a valid fire certificate?
Well, with the fire certificate, I don't have that information ready with me, but what I know is that due to the renovation that was made, that there was early fire detection system that was installed. That is what even helped with alerting us about the fire for us to be able to intervene early. So I would say with having extinguishers, having smoke detectors, yes, they are compliant, but with the certificate, I don't really have that document, and I would have to follow up on that.
Thank you very much. And that there is Alex Nati, is a fire officer at the Public Affairs Directorate of the Ghana Fire Service. And that's the situation of the Job 600. A lot to still clarify if indeed are fire compliant and they have a valid certificate. The fire service must issue that on a regular basis. George, your face joining me now with business.
Well, Evans, coming up, some rice farmers cast doubt over effectiveness of ban on export of some grains to avert food shortage in the coming weeks. And tax consultant Francis Timoboy fears proposed tax measures by presidential candidates of the two leading political parties, MPP and NDC, could be in conflict with the IMF program. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Chaco.
Who had a spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret, he said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Books and Stationery Limited's Back to School promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready to turn your dreams into reality? Don't just dream it, own it with a loan from Fidelity Bank. Dreaming of a new home? Own it with Fidelity Mortgage Loan. Dreaming of smelling the scent of a brand new tear rubber car? Own it with Fidelity Auto Loan. Dreaming of getting the latest phone, TV, fridge, furniture, laptop or gaming console? Own it with Fidelity Consumer Asset Finance. Dreaming of expanding your business? Make it a reality with our business loan. Fidelity Bank is offering flexible loans to businesses, salaried workers and the self-employed at a competitive rate. Dial 0800 003355 or visit any of our branches nationwide today to turn your dream into reality with a Fidelity Bank loan. Terms and conditions apply. Fidelity Bank. Believe with us.
Fidelity. If I believe with us. Fidelity. If I know I lay aside. Fidelity.
Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for. We don't want to see the brain. We need some baby. Maybe mom more charcoal for whiter teeth. More charcoal. Not only that, maybe mom lemon. More lemon. Zinc for fresher breath. More zinc. And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Yeah. Introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Luxurious affordable living is your right, and no one understands it better than BOT Properties. BOT Properties specializes in modern residential buildings and commercial office spaces. Our properties include the Equator, a 12-story made up of over 100 apartments near Accra Mall. At the Equator Courts, we offer you the deluxe living experience with our top-of-the-range homes, high-quality homes built with style and precision to suit your lifestyle. The Equator Courts is a gated community with two-story, four-bedroom detached houses at Ubuju, East Legon, near American House. Our office complexes include Zion House, Shiashi, East Legon, Zion House, Sofa Line Interchange, Kumasi. Our offices and apartments are for both rental and outright purchases at affordable prices and with flexible payment terms. Kindly contact us on 0257-960-919 or visit botproperties.com. BOT Properties, the new meaning of affordable luxury.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# Now I'll cost out to ticket as a group, individual, and as even as a community. Now win is the card cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, some rice farmers are casting doubts over the effectiveness of the ban on export of some grains to avert food shortage in the coming weeks. Government has announced that it is placing a ban on export of some grains to prevent food crisis for next month. But chairman of the Competitive Africa Rice Platform, Yapoku, says the porous nature of our borders might make it difficult for it to work.
We've been through that scenario several times. Since the PFJ started, and it has not really worked. The good intentions of the government and the minister is thrown out when it gets to the field. So you go out there. Those who are smuggling, it's not actually exported. They are not captured by the data collectors because they are not exporting through the well-known ports and gateways. They are escorting through the bushway, a truck at a time. And so you may have about, say, 1,000 metric tons leaving within a day from a particular district or area. And that is what is happening. And because the borders are porous, we cannot do anything to stop it from going. This is the situation we find ourselves in. So I don't think the ban would really have the effect it's supposed to have. I don't think so.
Chairman of the Competitive African Rice Platform, Yao Poku. Now, tax consultant Francis Tumoboy fears to propose tax cuts and measures announced by the presidential candidates of the two leading political parties, NPP and NDC, could be in conflict with the IMF program. Former President John Mahama and flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mohamed Bamiyavo, promised wide-ranging tax reforms. Mr. Boy maintains that implementing some of these proposals under the IMF program might be difficult.
COVID-19 alone brings, I think 2025, we're expecting about 6 billion Ghana cedis. E-levy is going to give us around 2.5 billion cedis. If you scrap them, we must have an alternative. So certainly some of the policies are going to conflict with the IMF policy. Remember, IMF, their problem is that we are not collecting enough compared to the size of our GDP. Currently, we are around 13-14%, and our neighbors are doing 32%. So what is it that you have with your tax system? And that's why they always complain when we give tax exemptions to big multinationals. So clearly, if the policies as they have outlined, I agree that we need to revise our tax system. But whilst we are granting the reliefs and exemptions to stimulate the economy, we have a huge debt ahead of us, servicing the interest payment that has been suspended. So if we are...
Tax consultant Francis Tumoboy. Now, accountant firm PricewaterhouseCoopers is admonishing banks to prioritize stakeholders by investing in customer experience. A survey conducted by the accountant firm noted that speed, predictability, and results and expertise, as well as ease of access and low interest rate to customers, are the biggest concerns. Seeking to join business at the PwC Banking Customer Experience Breakfast Forum, senior country partner at PwC Ghana, Vishishak, were called on financial institutions to focus on enhancing customer experience.
So I think that banks need to look at their stakeholders, understand exactly what the stakeholders want, and be able to adjust their ways of working to suit the stakeholders. It's not as easy as it sounds because the stakeholder environment continues to change. And I think that's where the challenge is.
Visha Shagba is a country senior partner at accountant firm PricewaterhouseCoopers. Now, policy think tank Africa Center for Entrepreneurship and Youth Empowerment is calling for reforms in the entrepreneurship ecosystem at the launch of its 2024 Regional Entrepreneurship Freedom Index report. Chief Executive of the think tank, Emmanuel Akwa, called for reforms in government's flagship SME programs.
So when you're asking for real reforms, we are saying that, look, instead of just scratching the surface and of going about partisan lines and being on the lookout for interest, personal interest, there has to be a holistic view as to how we approach the issues of entrepreneurship.
And that is Emmanuel Akwa, Chief Executive of the Africa Center for Entrepreneurship and Youth Empowerment. Now, startup firm Skin Gourmet has been a judge, as we know, the Fidelity Bank Green Tech Innovative Challenge as part of this year's Sustainability Conference. The bank began the initiative to award over 1 million cedis in grant and mentorship to some small enterprises in the agribusiness and digital innovation. Managing Director of the bank, Julian Upumi, has been speaking to Joy Business after the presentation to the winners on the sidelines of the Sustainability Conference.
Just have dialogue, but try and bring and create an ecosystem of other people that can influence the change we're looking to see. Working with NGOs, other governmental bodies, and more primarily within the private sector, people who are taking steps forward, driven by the need to also ensure that we make our planet a lot safer for the future. This year, what we decided to add on was what we had launched earlier in the year, which is our Green Tech Challenge, which is where we are seeking to find young people, young businesses who are starting to make that step and trying to make a change in their environment. And in our own small way, how do we assist them with some financial support and in some instances also with technical assistance to drive their businesses forward?
Managing Director of Fidelity Bank, Julian Upumi. To the stock market, Atlantic Lithium was up by 15 pesos to close at 6 Ghana cedis, 15 pesos. If you have invested on the Ghana Stock Exchange from the beginning of this year, returns are now almost 40%. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George. Let's do sports. Musbal, what do we have?
For just some update from GFA's 30th Ordinary Congress that just concluded at the Ghanaman Soccer Center of Excellence in Pram Pram. And over there, the president of the association, Kerti Kreku, made a compelling case for the sports sector, advocating tax waivers to support the development of the game in the country. He emphasized that such financial incentives are crucial for reducing the burden on sports organizations, enabling them to invest more in other areas.
But it has come even much clearer that without a dedicated source of funding for football, our industry will struggle. Payment of 17.5% VAT on football revenue. As we speak, congressmen and women, football clubs, all of you here are charged 17.5% on VAT, true or false? Whilst other industries, including conventional entertainment, pay a flat rate of 3%. It is our request that football and football clubs, just like other entertainment providers, are levied the flat rate of 3% to give our clubs opportunities to also build our capacities.
Kerti Kreku, president of the association. And for that's what we got for you in sports.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bao. Now, you know, the National Peace Council have been having collaborative dialogues with a number of institutions. At least they've done the political parties, the NDC. And today was a turn of the prophets in the country. And it took a dramatic turn when the founder of the True Word Prophetic Fire Ministries, you know who that is?
Prophet Nigel Gacy.
Umofia, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, he took, he took on the National Peace Council, describing them as sensationalist and selective, and also just rearing up their faces when it comes to election years. Well, this is what transpired. You can listen.
For the first efforts when it's getting to election. Again, I sort of think that the Peace Council is sectionalist. The Peace Council, as it were, focuses and champions the interests of just a few. We should appreciate that peace is not found in a vacuum. There are certain conditions, there are certain tenets that must prevail before peace, as it were, can be established. I remember I live close to Ayawaso Wagon. I live in East Lagos. We are in all in this country. We saw the happenings of Ayawaso Wagon. Still, I don't know when Peace Council is going to speak on it or release and communicate to that effect. We are in this country, our brothers and sisters in Techimansa were killed. So today, no word for Peace Council of the Republic of Ghana.
Well, the chairman of the National Peace Council, Reverend Dr. Ernest Adujinfi, has been responding.
And the Peace Council is being called. Why don't you call the president to order? Now ask myself, where is the power? Certain things, somebody will shoot somebody somewhere. The first call is, Peace Council, what are you seeing? The police is there. Ours is not to arrest. Somebody says that there's a case in court. Why haven't you said anything? The Peace Council has no power to withdraw a case from court. The mandate does not give us the power to do those things. Issues arise in this country, everybody thinks it's going to burn, something's going to happen, suddenly it goes quiet. As soon as you see this in this country, you must know that the Peace Council has done something. And we see all kinds of things, they happen every day. Tensions rise to a certain point as if they are going to fight, then after about 2-3 days, the whole thing dies down quietly, and then as if nothing has happened. As soon as you see that, you must understand that something has happened. That is the way we work. And we use shuttle diplomacy in the night, moving into the house of politicians, calling them at dawn, meeting them at different places, just to ensure that we can get this done.
Well, Archbishop Duncan Williams was at that meeting. He has an advice for both the prophets and the politicians.
So I want to speak to all the prophets and men and women of God here. We do not question your integrity or your giftings or your covenants. But my advice to you is, let the good of country guide the interpretation of your prophecies. Number two, it's not about winning. It's not about winning, but it's how you win. It's not about winning, but it's how you win. And thirdly, it's what happened after you have won. That is what we have to look at, because there are implications, serious implications, when it comes to the destiny of a country involving children, yet unborn, mothers, fathers. It's not about party. So for once, let our loyalty be for the good of country and not to our party. Because there is no party will exist in this country if anything goes wrong with this nation.
And that's the Papa.
Yes.
Archbishop Duncan Williams.
Yes. Now, on Sunday, we've been talking about this media encounter. Today, the flag bearer of the National Democratic Congress, John Dramani Mahama, has delivered a damning verdict on that particular encounter, accusing Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia of spreading lies and delivering incoherent speech at the event. Well, listen to John Dramani Mahama.
You see, when you do something with a devious intention, it backfires on you. We announced that we're going to launch our manifesto on the 24th of August. Immediately, our opponents announced that they were going to do a media encounter on the 25th of August, the very next day. You know, the intention for doing that media encounter the next day after we had announced our manifesto was to turn the attentions of Ghanaians from the NDC manifesto. That was the main reason that they decided to do a media encounter the very next day after we launched our manifesto. But you see, when you do something with devious intention, it backfires on you. When you do something with devious intention, it backfires on you. You know how to tell when somebody is lying. If there are people who are smooth talkers, who can speak rat-tat-tat-tat-tat like machine gun, the time when they become stammerers and they start stammering, you know they are lying. Somebody who can speak tat-tat-tat-tat-tat like AK-47, suddenly media encounter,
And that is John Mahama. Also today, the flag bearer for the New Patriotic Party, the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, he's also been campaigning and talking about solar power. He says the government, if he wins, will bring on board 200,000 megawatts of power onto the national grid, 2,000 on the national grid from solar. Listen to him.
Well, it's relatively expensive because we import oil to generate electricity, gas, to generate electricity. I want Ghana to take the bold decision to move away from oil and gas and focus on solar power to generate electricity for Ghana. Solar power for me holds the key. The good Lord has given us the sun for free. It's shining every day, and we can, you know, we have the technology to do, to harness that solar, that sun for power. I want to add 2,000 megawatts in the next 4 years of solar power, and I believe that, that all the numbers show that we will be able to bring down the cost of power by 50%.
And you know, this is your election headquarters. It's always brought to you by Petrosol, Clean Fuel in full quantity, SEMA, the Chartered Institute of Management, Accountants, AICPA, and SEMA together as Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Break Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development.
And it's time to get out of here, but we're getting ready for the geeks and the lead geeks.